What is phase two?
New day is dawning. The day of the
Power Cosmic Podcast.
Gathered from around the galaxy comes the world's greatest comic book fans, all in one terrific podcast. It's the
Power Cosmic Podcast.
With your host with the most, the man who puts on Terrific Con, the world's greatest Comic Con every August at the Mohegan Sun in Uncasville, Connecticut, Mitch Halleck. Joining Mitch each week will be an assembly of his terrific super friends. Join them as they talk about comic books, movies, and more. It's the Power Cosmic Podcast.
Power Cosmic Podcast.
And it says Colony Grill. It's picking up Colony Grill. Anyway.
What, the...
That's
Wi-Fi?
What it does this now. It picks up the location of where you are.
Oh,
when you record a message, like, yes. I'll be driving and look, Woodward Avenue. And I don't know what that's about now.
Well, that's for the GPS. Homeland Security.
Did you know your iPhone's tracking how many steps you're walking and all that?
I know you can set it.
I didn't know I set it. The other day it said, you walked 16,000 steps today. That's like 8 miles. And I go, what now? And I looked.
So you're not
and it had,
setting
no,
it.
No, it had a whole year's worth of stuff. It was telling me what days, and I looked at like Terrificon, and I was walking like 30,000 steps because I was running around the whole weekend.
I do that with just going up and down because of the house.
Yeah, but I didn't know my phone was recording that information, which is kind of creepy.
Well, it's recording it whether you ask for it or not.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But where's that data going to?
It's going to...
Who wants it?
Apple headquarters.
And what are they doing with it?
Everybody's putting it in a vault.
Seriously, what is going on with all this?
Why do you think all Homeland Security stuff goes? All the phone calls, if you read about...
Why am I doing a podcast or listen? Yeah, now it's being recorded. But I'll have to edit this part because no one's going to care.
No, if you do the... Like if you're... the NSA was tracking phone stuff, the way to get around the privacy issue was that they didn't use it.
Oh, they just...
Get that.
They just kept it, but they didn't use it.
It's like a weird doublespeak. So if they did need to use it, they could then... go to a judge and say we need to access this.
Is this legit?
This is how they got around, and this is I think how the tech companies get around it, is they collect the data but they don't look at it. No human's looking at it. They're just
something's
storing it.
Looking at it.
I'm saying they're supposedly stockpiling it for a future day.
Well, obviously it's counting the steps and telling me how many miles. There's some kind of algorithm out there that's recording this. For what purpose though?
For your health.
And then what they're selling my things
about
to
this,
schools?
Though. Think about the downside of that. If they are doing that, they can then track your amount of activity.
Yeah. They only know what you buy at the stores.
Is that something that your insurance company could get when you go to renew? And they could say, hey, you know,
you're not moving around much. You're a bigger thing. Yeah.
You know, we see your heart rate's not at the... They could do that.
I don't know. But why? I don't know. I just noticed it the other day because I saw this little thing on my phone.
How did you see it that it...
It was on one of my settings, and it said your daily count. I go, what's this?
So you must have something enabled, right?
I didn't know I had
it
enabled.
Is that a 7 or 8 or what?
It's an 8. This is riveting right now.
Okay. Well, what are we going to talk about?
Well, we're going to talk about... you know what? I was talking about drawing.
We should talk about... Let's talk...
Markers?
No, you know what? Let's talk about what I can...
What are you going for Christmas? What was the best... Well, it's Christmas time. What was the best toy you ever got for Christmas?
Oh, I can do this.
Do you do that?
Yeah.
Is that ventriloquist dummy?
No.
Oh, all right.
No, because here's
we could do a whole story about our ventriloquist.
Yeah, yeah.
We could do our ventriloquist acts on the podcast and no one will know.
That's true.
That we're talking.
Hello, Danny O'Day.
Hello. And what was Mortimer Snerd? I'll bring my Mortimer Snerd.
Yeah, I didn't have that.
I had a howdy doody to Mortimer Snerd and
his
Danny
O'Day. What was the guy's name?
Paul Winchell.
Yeah. And he was on TV.
Walter Winchell's son, right?
He did something with... There was like some movie that had
Tigger.
The Three Stooges throwing pies. Or no, they were doing a Three Stooges bit throwing pies.
Who?
Paul Winchell.
Was in a Three Stooges movie?
It was like a 50s thing. I think Carlin, you know what? Mike Carlin might have actually sent it. It was maybe a Paul Winchell doing a movie with Danny O'Day. Because Mike, I think Carlin sent me a video
Away
of
We
it.
Go? No, that's what
he
Edward
sent
Berger.
Me a video of it many years ago for my birthday. And it had a Three Stooges style pie fight in it.
I saw one movie that had Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
No, this
it was called Away We Go.
No, this was Danny O'Day. That's why I remember it. because he had Danny O'Day and he had one another character which I can't remember. It wasn't Mortimer Schnurd, but it was kind of that type of thing.
You can't keep this bottled up.
So here's the deal.
Yes, your Christmas present.
And we acknowledge that we both got the Danny O'Day.
We did. People don't know what we're talking about.
Well, no, it's a ventriloquist doll, and it came with a record album.
Yes, it did. I had the record. And you had to practice your...
And a booklet.
The Mutter. Right. It's probably the same album I had. Yeah.
And what I did was I practiced it, and then I performed my ventriloquist
My mom had a tavern.
I remember...
No, I'm saying the thing you were supposed to read, not your mother's tavern.
My ventriloquist act in the tavern.
Oh, well, I took mine to show and tell in school.
Mine was easier because there was a bunch of
guys drunks. Who were they drunk. Didn't know anyway. They're they like, couldn't tell look, I was telling some good stories.
Right, they couldn't tell if your lips were moving or
not. No. No, but I remember the album and some of the exercises, and it were something about butter and mud, like my utter mutter attached to their butter, and you because you can't say TH.
You had to have
B.
You would have to also N.
And P.
You couldn't do M.
M, in, yeah.
So you could do the N, but you had to
You're supposed to take your tongue and put it to your teeth.
Right.
I did all that stuff.
Which you can see on the podcast. Mitch putting his tongue against his teeth.
And I had an underbite, so it made it really awkward.
Best Christmas present.
Yeah, what was your best Christmas present?
There's the one winds up being the best one.
You got an orange.
Yes.
Like in Little Women.
And a loaf of
gold.
They had
an orange. I was like, wow, these people really got to get out.
It was Christmas, the two Christmas stories. The best one, funny one. Christmas Day.
Yep.
Unwrapping presents. And my mom had, she had a second house that she rented out.
Right.
But it was in the country. We grew up in the city. Bad neighborhood, all this. So she
country.
Had this other house.
What's a country out in Wisconsin?
It was like a suburb. But it was an early
But is
suburb.
It like Connecticut country?
No, it was just a house with an acre of land.
Okay.
So it was whatever, more space.
I know, but out here it's like farmland.
She had a garage that she was having built, it was going to be turned into a family room.
Yeah.
So it was frigid cold, but it had a fireplace.
Okay.
That part was done. There was a concrete step and a concrete floor. So Christmas Day, tree set up in that room. My brother and I both
had... Was it attached to the house?
Yeah. It was an attached garage. Both of us got these gigantic boxes. We're like, oh my God, we opened these boxes and it's a car.
Oh,
it was a
nice.
radio controlled, it was a wire controlled.
Yeah.
So it was this car that had a steering wheel and, you know, forward,
but it was
reverse.
Attached, both.
With a wire.
How long was the cord? 9 feet?
Whatever. Six feet, maybe five feet.
Right, yeah.
So this was the greatest thing because I was always, as a kid, you want to be able to drive.
Drive a car.
It's just so cool.
Right.
So you could steer this thing. So here I am playing with the toy.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited. Christmas morning, I'm thrilled. I'm driving and backing up the car. And I'm driving and I'm backing up. I trip over the concrete step.
No.
The remote goes flying, smashes into a bunch of pieces.
Was your brother up yet?
My brother had his car.
I was going to say, just steal his quick before he gets up.
No, we were both playing. And so my car went back to
the store.
Supposedly to get a new one. I never got a new one.
So
my brother
dad.
Had his car.
Yeah.
And he used to lord it over me because my older brother was that
you never got
let me play
you never
with
got
it.
A replacement.
No, I saw it on at one point on eBay.
Really, the same car?
Recently, yeah, the exact car.
Really,
it was a famous toy from that time, I guess. I don't know, but it was like a 25 or 2 foot.
Oh, it was a big thing,
a big car that you could steer and back and forth.
Oh, I thought it was like a little tiny.
No, you could park it and all this stuff.
Like there.
So my brother.
What year was this? Was it metal or plastic?
Like maybe 64, 65.
So, but it was like a metal car? Like
But the remote was obviously plastic and
yeah.
when it went flying, it broke into a bunch of pieces and it no longer worked.
That sucks. So you only had it for like a couple hours.
But it was so exciting for that less than, like maybe playing with it for a half hour at
That's
most.
That's it, yeah.
And then, like and I
then
said, then
nothing.
I had my brother who kept playing with his
and, you're like,
and he wouldn't let me use it.
That Joel?
Yes.
Oh.
But so that's one. But the high point of it was that was really the greatest. I remember so excited when I opened
that
up.
What's the second one?
The second one's funnier because it was maybe a couple years later. I was into G.I. Joe's.
Well, if you asked your brother, that other one was funnier.
Yeah, he probably.
He was like, ah.
There were the 12-inch.
Yes, I remember G.I. Joe 12-inch.
So I found out what I thought was my mom's hiding place for Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
In, say, November. Oh. And there's a drawer
nasty
under stuff, and I was I found three G.I. Joes, which I didn't have. It was like the red-haired guy, whatever.
Yeah,
it was like different.
Red-haired guy was in the Navy,
right?
With the white
so
hat,
different.
The blue
they had
shirt.
Yeah. So I would carefully take them out.
Did they have the beard?
They weren't cellophane. It was just a slip box cover.
Yeah.
So I would take them out and I'd play with them. And then I very carefully put them back.
So no one would know.
So Christmas Eve comes, Christmas Day, opening all my presents.
Yes, sir.
No G.I. Joes.
What?
I was like so...
Whose were they then?
I was so crushed. It turned out that she was... She claimed... My
they were for a friend.
They were... She was had them set aside for
really?
A friend. So I was very disappointed.
That sucks. That really sucks.
But I
mean, that's really like,
but it
wow.
was like, there was your, there's your
that's
lesson.
That's sad.
See, it's like your lesson that you shouldn't...
you shouldn't open boxes.
Yes.
I remember
belong to you.
Opening my mom's closet... In her bedroom, she remember the sliding doors, you know, sliding doors. And I had a little toy, and the ball rolled underneath the slider door. So I slid back the closet to get the ball or whatever it was. And there, from floor to ceiling, were wrapped presents.
Oh,
and I was like, "What is this?" The mother load, you know. And I don't know how old I was. And what did I do? Nobody was around. I started ripping them open because it's like, oh my god, I just found Santa's secret stash. You know,
this is why we're both in purgatory.
And my dad came home and was furious. And I think he slapped me. Might have beat me up. I don't remember. He hit me so hard. I don't. No, I'm pretty sure he was mad. He was mad.
He woke up on New Year's Day.
I woke up on New Year's Day. I just woke up 3 days ago. But no, my mom was like, "Oh, he didn't know he could have one." And I think I started figuring out right then and there it was no Santa Claus because I got beaten. I could vividly like a little. I must have been 4 or 5. I don't know. I was like, oh. Like a dog finding food everywhere. Yeah. Like, oh my god, kibble.
My first thought there is that you were gonna tell me that you became a really good Christmas present wrapper because you carefully were able to unwrap it.
Oh
and
no, I just went at it. Look at me. No, I have no self control. See a box of Twinkies, it's an empty box in 5 minutes. Like, like Homer.
Well,
what was my favorite
toys
toy
when you were a kid? Though. That's a good one because when I was a kid.
Oh, there was great toys when I was a kid.
When I was a kid, that
diecast
a toy led me to break my embargo against reading or buying a DC comic.
What?
Captain Action.
Yeah.
Captain Action had
you
buy
could
costume
change his clothes.
Sets,
yeah, yeah.
And there was Captain America. There was superhero.
Yeah, yeah.
Superman,
Sergeant Fury,
Batman,
Spider-Man. Right. Yep.
And as a kid, I always wanted the Spider-Man one.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find
Cimino
it. Cimino
had that one.
So
yeah.
You had if you. It was one thing to have the money because it was like $3, $2.99 for
that's
the costume
it?
Set. Yeah.
Well, the 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah
this
yeah.
is like 66 or 7.
Nowadays, that's like $20.
So
bucks.
That Spider-Man was the one that I couldn't get. And I remember one
did
time.
Did the head switch
you
off
would
too?
Go, no, it was a mask. Was
oh,
a
you just dropped the. Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it was a combination of having the money in pocket as a kid, having the opportunity of being in a store that had stuff like that. So one time it seemed to line up
the
for
perfect
me.
Storm. Yeah, the money, the store,
I had money,
and there
I was
it was
at a store like a Kmart or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Kreskes, SS Kreskes. What was the SS
I found
for?
It on the rack. It was like my heart's beating.
Yeah,
I grabbed it down from the rack.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody had stolen the mask.
Are you kidding me?
And I was as a kid, I thought I'm not going to spend $3.
No, because it's incomplete.
Missing the mask. Yeah. But then I was like, should I just get it?
No.
Will I see it again? I thought, no, I'll see it again. And I never saw it again.
Oh.
And that became one of the more collectible.
No, Cimino had one, but now it's like hundreds of dollars.
Well, the Green Hornet was a very rare one, too.
Really? I thought Sergeant Fury would be rare.
I remember not buying Sergeant Fury. So.
Oh, you saw it?
So having my love for these characters, I started taking G.I. Joes and making costumes for them. So I had to make... I wanted to make up the event.
Were they the same height?
They were slightly more stocky. So
who
the
was?
Costumes would
Captain
fit.
Action was stockier than...
No. The G.I. Joes were more
bigger.
Stocky because they also had that weird swivel bicep.
Yeah.
But I made the, you know, Avengers.
You
out
made
of
the
them.
Avengers? Which,
yeah.
Who? Captain America?
Well,
Thor?
Sadly, I made a Scarlet Witch out of one of the male characters.
A little trans...
I just, like,
what do you
well,
call
no,
that? Transgender?
And I'll tell you, I was like so disturbed by it. That
yeah,
I was, like,
it sounds a little creepy. Was it at least a redhead?
I don't remember what I did, but I remember when I finished them and I was like kind of proud for a second and then I looked and I went, wait, this is kind of wrong. So
yeah,
that one,
I'm a little
trashed.
Disturbed right now.
But the comic actually was published by DC Comics.
What comic?
Captain Action?
But not a lot, like 6 issues.
It was Wally Wood and Gil Kane, but it was Wally Wood on the first issue. Jim Shooter wrote the first issue.
Yeah.
And then Wally Wood and Gil Kane after that, and then Gil Kane took over writing it.
Not
it ran
a very
for
long
eight
run.
Issues.
Yeah, it was a very small run.
But it was very thrilling as a kid. you know, to see.
Were all the accessories that the toys had in the comics?
No, no.
It wasn't like a catalog thing?
No, it was a different concept. But what the fun part was, I could see how people would have gotten into the G.I. Joe comics from in the 80s from the toys or Transformers or He-Man.
Speaking of that.
Because that's a good, there's a good, you know.
Speaking of comics and toys, can you talk about that other thing? You're not allowed to.
You know what? I can be vague about it. Yeah.
Well, those aren't in the stores right now. I ordered those on eBay.
How did you get those?
Not eBay. Amazon.
Yeah, but how did you get...
$11.99.
But how did you get them early if they're not in stores?
They shipped on November 15th.
So they should be in stores.
They should be, but they're not.
Okay, so we're talking about...
We're talking about the DC Primal Funko Primal line, Age. Which looks like DC meets He-Man,
right,
basically.
It's like, it's basically if the DC, if there was a DC line,
line of
the
toys,
with the
what
He-Man,
they would have looked like with
right,
that
with the original,
stocky
right, the He-Man
build
model.
Right,
the,
right, 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 right. No, but they're all on, I can buy it right now for $11.99 on Amazon for free shipping. And they have every figure. They have Batman, Joker, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Black Manta. Who else? Is there a Flash?
Well,
no, it's a Green Lantern.
No, but there's a...
Sinestro, I think?
No, was it Mr. Freeze?
Mr. Freeze. Yeah, they're just chunky-looking dudes.
Right.
They're about 6 inches high.
Like, what if the DC heroes were
but they look
Conan?
Like, they look like prehistoric.
It's like a mashup with a prehistoric Conan kind of.
And there's
age.
Some animals, like Batman has the wolf, Ace the Bat
Joker's
wolf.
The Joker's got the big...
The Joker's
lizard.
Got a big lizard, and I don't think anybody else has any.
No.
But they're out there right now.
So here's what I learned.
Only on Amazon. What'd you learn?
I think you'll be able to buy them in Target. There's
the
a comic.
Toys?
We're doing a comic tie-in. I worked on this comic. And starting in January, I think there's going to be a press release soon anyways, because it's supposed to be in January. The Target's got
too bad they didn't get it out before the holiday.
Yeah. Though.
But
well,
it was a rush job, wasn't it?
I think
it
came together all within that
6 months,
October-ish,
typically. Yeah.
Whenever that toy debuted at New York Comic Con. Wasn't that the Mr. Freeze?
Yeah. No, they did a little animated cartoon for it.
But which one was the exclusive at New York Comic Con?
There was an exclusive?
Freeze. Yeah, it was like a Mr. Freeze figure.
Oh, I didn't know that. Where, at the Funko booth?
Apparently.
Somebody brought one up to me at the show,
and I went, oh.
I didn't even know they did that.
Yeah.
The whole thing is very bizarre.
So
no one seems to know about
this
thing.
There's a comic book that's companion to the toy line.
Yeah.
And I did some... like 2 10-page stories in this thing. I got to write a
It's going to be like an 80-page giant?
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
So I wrote a Joker story and I wrote and drew Wonder Woman in that like medieval kind of setting.
Hey, who else is working on it? Marv Wolfman, you?
I think Marv was writing the lead.
Who? Nobody else?
I don't know. Like I said, all I know is what I worked on and I just found out that it very likely will be a Target exclusive as a comic.
There you go.
So that's kind of cool.
But where would they sell it, though? Probably in the Funko Pop section,
well, they
I suppose.
Apparently have a separate display, so that could be cool. So this is what we're talking about, the Walmart comics.
Yeah.
You know, everybody,
I showed you the
I'm
holiday
sure that
one.
Because Walmart things seem to be successful, comics are selling out, that there's probably other retailers want in.
Well, the weird thing is about Scott Martin found out that Walmart's not in charge of putting them out. They have a separate distribution, whatever. He's the guy that fills it. But not every Walmart has these books.
Yeah.
Like the one in Shelton near me, they always have them. Like if you go there, they have tons of the right. But they're right when you walk out.
Is that where's that on Route 8?
Is that Route 8? Yeah. Bridgeport Avenue?
Yeah.
As you're leaving the store, before you get into the self-checkout.
Yeah.
On the other side of the self-checkout where they have all those like cards like Pokemon and Magic the Gathering,
right.
There's two boxes at the end and they have all the issues there, but they only keep the current ones, so it's they're on issue 5 now,
right.
So if you missed issue 1 and 2 and 3, I don't know where you're going to find that.
eBay
probably.
Well, that's a problem, is that from what I understand is people were buying up
at first they were
multiples
like 30, 40 bucks
on, putting them on eBay.
Yeah, it was hard to find. That's why when I got that Christmas one, I grabbed it because it was out. I'm like, oh. The so Halloween one was hard to get. Greg Capullo did the art. It was a Swamp Thing story.
Well, I'm glad that the...
It was a very good story.
Well, this DC doing the Christmas one for Walmart, they did this DC Nuclear Winter that came out last week.
That sold out of our local stores.
Yeah, yeah. I did an 8-page story with Firestorm with Paul Dini as the writer. Apparently,
Professor Stern looked like me. I was really disturbed by that.
Were you?
Yeah.
I was just using a reference they gave me from the...
Oh, no, I looked at it and I go, should I be insulted? That chubby gray-haired guy with glasses looks like me. Ordway.
Yes, we all know.
I was Professor Stern.
We always know your professorial.
Right now
demeanor.
With my Dr. Strangelove glasses. So what about that? So when did that come together? Like July, right?
Which one?
The Nuclear Winter one.
Yeah, the Nuclear Winter I finished before Baltimore. So that was.
That fast that came out?
It came out in November 28th. And
no, but
I had
finished
it
October.
By. Yeah, well, Baltimore was
October
end
8th.
Of September, wasn't it?
It was the week before New York. Yeah, you're right. It was the week before New York Comic Con. Yes.
I finished end of September. That's their 2 month, advance.
Yeah, I guess that was quick.
It was nice. The whole book, I think, was well done. Did you read it?
I read your story, but I didn't read the rest of it
yet.
Well,
the framing sequence is fun, too, as Mike Norton drew it. I can't.
Honestly, Mike Norton, who was that terrific comic.
Yes. The framing sequence is fun because it's basically Rip Hunter with his time machine out of power.
Yeah.
While these guys who are cannibals are going to talking about eating him, so he starts telling them stories to delay them while his thing charges. It's him telling these stories, so it's
kind
of
clever.
Fun. Yeah, it was a good framing.
I'll have to finish it up. I got time right now. I just watched a lot of shows this week. My wife's away, so I watched all Lost in Space. I watched that Ballad of whatever
Buster Scruggs.
There were some good parts of that.
Yeah.
Overall, it's good.
You can see why they decided to do it as one all-in-one rather than individual.
The Prospector
episodes.
One was my favorite. The one with the guy with the gold and then the kid shoots him.
Yeah.
But I didn't understand the very last story. That they were carrying a body and they bring it just ended. I was like, did I miss something? I ever had to rewind it. I'm like,
they were going to hell.
Were they?
Yeah.
Oh, is that what was happening?
Or to the afterlife. That
that
was like the ferryman taking them to.
Oh, I had no. I'm stupid. Because you know why? I was not giving it the full attention. I had it on the background and I was typing and I kept looking up at the stories and I'm like, what's going on here?
No, the guy. We're giving away.
But the older guy with the glasses.
Too many spoilers.
Who had the weird glasses played, like me.
Right. Yeah. The guy who. He was Howard
he was
the Duck.
He
was in the Howard the Duck. He was the guy who played Howard in the costume and that.
No, he wasn't. That was a little midget. Or whatever they call those people.
I forget his name, but
dwarfs.
He was
no,
on,
little actors, sorry. Little
yeah, actor. No. He's
Wait.
Not. He was,
Howard the Duck, the movie, 1986.
He may have done the voice.
He did the voice, because the original one was a little
but
person.
That guy who's at the end was on the stagecoach.
Yeah.
He was also in that, what was it called, Warehouse 13 or something?
Yeah, I recognize him. He was also on a Star Trek Next Generation.
He's been around.
He's been around. Yeah, I know who he is.
But anyways, so
I knew the actor, but he was the guy. He was like the ferryman.
No, he was the guy in the
because
the one who
Cagney and Lacey lady was in the
last.
Middle. She was in the middle.
But he was the one who got out last.
Yeah, he did, and he looks into the camera as he closes the door. They were going to some mansion, I thought, in the rain. I was like, what is happening here?
It looked like they were going to a town.
Yeah,
but they were actually going. If you read into it, that was the,
I had. That's why I didn't know what was going on. I was like, "What's happening here?"
No, it was like they were being. It was like the ferryman.
But they were carrying a dead body, though, because he said, "Who's that dead guy on top?"
Right.
Well, they were all dead then.
Kind of. I thought the one with Liam Neeson was really creepy and really good.
I saw him. What was
it? It was the orator or something.
Yeah, did they make him look older?
Well, he's in his 60s.
Is he already
65 at least?
I caught him.
But the guy who played. The armless and legless orator.
Yeah, the freaking.
I kept saying he looks really familiar, and he apparently he was in the Harry Potter movies.
I don't watch those. I knew the beginning. I'm like, is this whole movie going to be like this, where the guy was singing and
I
shooting
think
everybody?
The kid who played Dursley, the one who was the bully who bullied Harry Potter?
Oh, I don't know. I told you, but the singer guy was the guy that played the leader in the Hulk movie.
Yeah, and he was also in
Samuel
Sturgis.
Oh, he's in a lot of Coen Brothers.
Yeah.
And
in Holes. He's in Holes, too.
That guy's?
Yeah.
Oh.
He played the psychic.
No, and then there was the one with the dog. I like that one.
Yeah.
With the girl that wanted to get rid of the money, and then Native Americans came. And
but you, like I said, you could see why they put
were they all. Was there like a common thread to all these that I was missing? Like,
no.
Was there a certain character?
Theme, Western theme.
Because I thought the dead body on the top of the roof at the very end was maybe like one of the characters from the earlier stories, and I wasn't paying attention.
Could have been.
It was done like, it's so an anthology.
Yeah.
So people don't know what we're talking about.
Here's something to talk about.
Well, that was a very good movie, though.
I watched the entire, 26 episodes of the first season of Adventures of Superman.
Yes.
In the last
you told
2 weeks.
Yeah.
And there's a really funny episode. Again, I watched them when I was
a kid.
Those
are half hours, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
when I was a kid, I watched them in reruns in the 60s because they would put them on Saturday morning.
Yeah, they'd be on Channel 11 out here.
So I haven't seen them since then. Maybe I saw them. I saw some of them in the 80s, maybe late 80s when Nickelodeon added them around the time of Rugrats.
I remember.
But I have a fond memory of the black and white ones being good or more crime-oriented. So anyways, I was watching these, and I was kind of impressed that they were actually pretty good.
They were meant to be more realistic. They were more adult.
There's one that's really hilarious that, I was wearing my writer's hat, looking at it, thinking about, boy, if I had seen this, some of these, they could have inspired stories when I was working on the book.
Stole something. Yeah, go ahead.
Because there was one where, again, it makes limited sense, but there you have it. Superman, Clark Kent, has his costume in a secret closet in
his apartment. Yes, he does. Yeah, I remember, yeah.
And a burglar comes in. He's not meaning to... He basically was burgling the apartment above
him. But he finds the suits.
And he hears the police or someone's coming at the door, so he climbs down and he gets into Clark's thing, finds the costume, leaves with the costume.
Yeah.
The guys that he is working with wind up, or the police shoot him, and he winds up dying at their place, but these bad guys then have the costume. It's a man and a woman.
Yeah.
So there's back and forth.
They were pretending to be Superman.
No, they were trying to blackmail or try to find out if how much it would be worth for Superman to get it back, and then they make the connection that Clark Kent is Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the craziest episode. Again, this is from 1952, I believe. Superman doesn't know what to do with him, so he flies to the Antarctic or something, some cold place, and they're on top of a snowy mountain.
He leaves him there?
And he says, you'll be okay here. I wouldn't move around too much. I've got to go do something, figure this out. He flies off, and then basically the woman says, I'm going to climb down or something.
Yeah.
Or the guy says, I'm going to climb down. He starts climbing, and then the woman, he's like, come on down. And she falls and knocks him down, and they both die. And that's the end of the episode.
Is it really?
Yes.
That's kind of harsh, man.
It is, because then at the end of the thing...
Superman left him to die.
Right, because those episodes...
Did he come back and go,
Even in the darker ones, they're almost always ended with a little bit of a wink to the audience.
He would always look into the camera.
It was definitely, weirdly uncomfortable to think like...
There was one where a guy dressed as Superman, he was telling people he was Superman.
That was a later one,
But that was more of a goofy thing, because he was like, I can't bend this metal. And was it Chuck Connors?
Well, Chuck Connors,
he was the one with the mule.
Was Superman. Wasn't he like...
The later seasons were like the worst of Saturday morning cartoon shows. They were really dumb. Stupid stories.
In the first season was more basically done...
Like a radio show.
But it was done by the guys... did the radio show.
Yeah.
And they used some of the same scripts.
Much serious
radio
tone.
Radio shows were more like crime dramas.
Yeah. But then it went out the window, though.
Well,
when he's fighting Indians
I think that's probably when DC or whoever...
Periodicals.
The people... Because they'd sent... I thought they sent somebody. Was it Whitney Ellsworth or something?
His name would be on the credits.
Somebody basically took over and did it more as a Adobe Kids thing.
I heard the guy that played Perry White was a huge drunk. I don't know his name.
Guy.
I know, but I remember
John
people
Hamilton.
Saying that. John Hamilton.
Yeah. And he... But
what
he was
he in?
Well, he was... Surprisingly, he was like a bit actor.
The guy that played Inspector so-and-so who showed up on Lois and Clark as the blind newspaper salesman?
Oh,
Inspector Henderson.
Yeah. Well, he probably did.
No, I think he was on Lois and Clark in his later years.
John Hamilton actually plays... He always played DAs or something. He plays...
He was like a real
actor. Attorney in the Maltese Falcon.
That's where I knew he was in something.
But he was in tons of other movies. In those, he's a guy who was like.
And Phyllis Coates was Lois, and then she's gone, and then
the next season was Noel Neal.
Neal.
But Jimmy Olsen got to kick butt. It was really cool. Oh,
really?
Yeah, in this first season.
I have them on DVD. I don't know why.
Both of them, but Lois would get captured, and she'd be punching people.
Five seasons, right?
But I mean, Lois was not like a wilting flower.
Yeah.
She's punching guys, and
was that still going when he killed himself?
There was a rumor of another season, I think, is what that had been.
Because I was always like, I think it was canceled when he finally killed himself.
What?
It was canceled when he finally shot himself, right?
Well,
he wasn't getting any more work.
I don't think they had. Yeah, there was a period where because it was low budget, and I guess it was sold like radio shows back then, it was sponsored by Kellogg's.
Yeah, that was Pep.
And without a big sponsor, any show could go away.
I remember Kellogg's because there's those really awkward commercials. Have you ever seen those on YouTube?
With Superman?
Yeah, with him and Jimmy, like, in the house. Like, hey, Jimmy, what are you eating? Oh, I'm eating breakfast cereal. I was like, why is Jimmy Olsen over at Clark Kent's house? And they're eating breakfast together. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it just seemed a little odd that they were sleeping over, had a sleepover, maybe.
I remember seeing, I didn't buy it, yeah. Somebody at one of these
comic
memorabilia type shows. It was, had a box, an unopened box of Superman's cereal. It was, you know.
When was Superman? The recent Superman cereal?
It was
cereal?
Like Kellogg's Corn Flakes or something.
Oh.
Or whoever. No, what did
no it was Pep. Who did we just say? Pep cereal. Pep.
No, who do we say was sponsor? Was it, did I just say
Kellogg's
before?
Pep.
Okay, but it was Superman on the box.
Yeah, I know, but that was the name of the cereal.
Unopened. I remember seeing this back in
The flakes must be hideous.
I was thinking to myself, well,
I have that box of Batman cereal I'm going to open next year for the 30th anniversary.
I opened mine. I ate it.
No, you did not.
I did, and I saved the box.
Oh, no, I still have mine unopened from 1989.
I still have, this is funny, I guess. What? I have a jar of Superman
peanut butter. I know, I've seen it at your house.
Peanut butter. And then neither of them have ever been opened. And
well,
sitting.
What happens to peanut butter when it's oil?
It just probably gets rancid. Not like you would eat it, but no. It's not like
the Batman cereal. I think I'm going to open that up and then drink it down with my Mountain Dew from Star Wars: Phantom Menace. I have that up in the cabinet too.
Well, see, that Star probably Wars, would give you
a Mountain Dew. I had one thing, a bottle of soda, and the soda disappeared out of the can. I don't know what happened. It evaporated somehow. It was never opened. It was from 1999. And
evaporated.
One day I picked it up and the can was just like light as a feather. I go, what happened to the soda inside?
We've had like Coca-Cola that ate
disappeared.
The can. No,
oh, really?
Yeah, a shelf in the basement and going, what's all this brown sticky? And it's like, oh.
There was Spider-Man peanut butter too, I think. But what do you do? You don't want to save food stuff.
No. Well, like the
jelly
peanut
glasses.
Butter is not going to go anywhere. And they're in plastic jars.
I don't think they still make Superman peanut butter.
No, it was just that Batman first and then Superman. It was right around 87, 88.
Years? I don't know. I always think when you drive across the country, you might find little pockets of weird food stuff.
Well, they probably sell all the expired stuff in bad neighborhoods, you know, or dollar stores.
Yeah. So you get my Superman peanut butter.
I still have, I do actually never even open them, but Trader Joe's, when they first in Connecticut started selling beer, they have a Three Stooges.
Oh, yeah. I remember Three Stooges beer.
There's a curly one, and then there's one with all Three Stooges, and it was Old Panther Brewing or something was, again, a joke from them. I still have those.
I remember Three Stooges beer when
that was
KB Toys.
Early 90s.
Yeah, they were up on 25, and I remember they had a big window display.
And I don't think it has any value, but it's just funny, and I thought, well,
I have an empty can of mash beer.
After a while, I didn't. Oh, I also, you know what
mash
I have?
Mash beer.
I have
a TV show.
Valiant. Remember Valiant Comics?
They made beer?
During when they were doing...
Warriors of Plasma beer?
No, it was when they were... When Steve Mazarsky was running them back in the days
Harbinger.
Of... Harbinger. All the foil covers
Exo-Man
and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So it was like early 90s, mid-90s.
Yeah.
It was probably 94. I have a can of dark...
What?
It was like a character. It was D-A-R-Q-E-U-E or
dark
something.
Dark Shadow.
So it was a dark brew or something, but it's a little custom can of beer. I never opened it.
No. What was the first superhero toy you ever had? It was Captain Action. Goes back to Captain Action. Did they have Superman toys or Batman?
They did. I didn't have. We were poor.
I just remember Mego. I grew up in the 70s, so everything was Mego
when
toys.
When I was little, we would go to Goodwill.
Yeah.
We had a Goodwill that was maybe four or five blocks away, and to me that was, didn't have
it was
any
like a
thought
toy store.
Of it, whether it was new or old.
We used to go to Kresge's.
I remember buying, having 5 cents. It sounds like Depression era stuff, but that was kind of 5 cents.
Five and dimes,
I
dude.
I bought a Popeye and Brutus Bendy's.
I had a Superman Bendy.
So I had Popeye and Brutus and maybe olive oil.
I had a Superman Bendy. I threw it up on the roof of our house, and it got stuck in the rain gutter. And I would look out it through the window, and you could see it slowly deteriorating. The hurricane came through, and I was outside, and my dad was cleaning up stuff. And I'm sitting on the stoop, and all of a sudden Superman lands next to me because my dad had cleaned up the gutter and found it. And it's like, here's your Superman. I was like, oh, Superman.
Thanks, kid. Superman clogged the
gutters. His face was all freaking rotted. It did. It was clogging, and the leaves were piling up, and the water was coming over the head. Stops rotted.
Well,
leaves, like a single bound. What?
Captain Action memory. Captain Action, I kept buying these. They would always come out with a little variation.
Yeah.
And there was, at one point, so I had like probably five Captain Actions, which I could then put multiple costumes on. So
they didn't blow them up and burn them? We did that.
No.
We were vicious.
I remember doing that with a G.I. Joe, but the Captain Action came with a parachute.
We had a cupboard.
It was a parachute, right?
Yeah.
And it was so cool.
And you threw it up and got stuck in a tree.
No, I spent a whole day in a mild rain standing in this open lot,
just throwing it up and watching it come down.
And watching it come down. Throwing it up, watching it come down. It's just funny. So
simple pleasures, but that's simple minds. That's, my mom would say.
What would they call that? Was like
gravity,
play value, gravity. Or something?
Yeah. Oh, I think about that. All the toys, you know. Now that the kids are gone, I look. I go. I think they played with that thing once.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, that was it.
Well, I look,
there wasn't a lot of repeat play
we have
value.
Tons of video games downstairs.
Oh, please,
and
let's not
none
go
of them
there.
Play video games anymore.
No, I know, but my kid would play them, and then that would be the end of it. I'm like, do you want to play it again? No.
But that's
I was tempted to buy a Space Invaders thing in Walgreens, I think it is. It was like $10, and all it is
a
little controller.
Retro,
And you put it on, you can play Space Invaders. I'm like, that's as far as my video game level went.
I remember playing Pac-Man.
Yeah,
in bars back in the 70s.
It's not 70s. It came in the 80s.
Must
have
been
a different
like
game.
Late 70s, early 80s. No, the big arcade
Space Invaders was
they
the first
them as
one.
Arcade
no, I know.
Games. I'm saying that was the home ones were later.
No, I know, but I don't think Pac-Man came out in the 70s.
Pong and things like that. There would be a big console, and you'd put a quarter in it, and someone would hog it or whatever.
Did you ever see those electric football games when you were a kid?
Oh, I had one.
It never made sense to me. How did they actually work?
Yeah, it was random.
It didn't do anything. Because they would have these teams and you'd plug it in and it shakes it.
Yeah, they had baseball on too.
And they move around. Yeah, but it was like ridiculous.
It was very random. Yeah, it was all magnet, right?
The
magnet.
So there was really no strategy behind it. You just did not. Everything. It would just look like Mexican jumping beans.
We were starved for toys that moved.
Yeah, you're like, look at this technology. I was like, wow.
Did they have
that helicopter that just went around in a circle and you could lower up and down to pick up? No, see, I had that as a kid. It was like Rescue Bird. It was a little chopper, and it had a winch or a hook underneath it, and you would just fly. It was just attached to a metal thing. It would go in a circle, but you could lower it and this and that, and you could like pick up stuff. And,
did you ever make your own toys?
Like what? Like out of wood?
Whatever.
Like whittle?
Because I remember trying to make the football game.
No.
I didn't know how it worked.
How did you make an electric
magnet? But I made a big board, and I made a football field, and then I took cardboard and cut out figures. It didn't work the same, obviously. But I remember one of my earliest memories of being artistic was when my brother Joel and I watching Twilight Zone on a Friday night.
Mm-hmm. Was that when it was on?
Yeah.
Oh.
Watching Twilight Zone and...
Not first run.
Yeah.
Oh, you're
this
old.
This would be like, I mean, I was probably 4 or 5.
They were around from what,
most.
Like 1960 to 65?
It started,
65?
Yeah, like 59 maybe.
Yeah, something like, yeah.
But I remember sitting there, and there was, they had those, remember you'd look in the back of the comics, it would be you'd send in whatever, and you'd get
novelties.
Like armies.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you know,
like dollar,
Roman
armies.
Yeah, I ordered
soldiers.
Some of those.
Okay, so
they were flat when you got them.
Well, I didn't, so I remember my brother and I was like, hey, we could make these.
Oh.
So we had, like, crappy brown cardboard, you know, like shirt cardboard.
Yeah.
They used to put in dry clean shirts. And to draw these figures.
Yep.
And
cut them out of cardboard.
You'd cut them out and then you'd split the cardboard so that you could make a stand. You would split the layers so that you could stand them.
Yeah.
And we would make, like, armies and then, like, okay, well, now we don't know
now
what to do.
Now
what
do you do? Burn them all. No, I'm just...
But it kept our time.
I didn't mean to yawn. I'm just tired because I was up all night preparing for my Spider-Man wall climbing thing. It's a long day.
It is.
Yeah.
But does Spider-Man complain about that?
No.
Spider-Man lifts that big weight off of him.
Well, this all started because I told them about one of my favorite toys was the web shooter. I think I told you that.
Was that the one that shot Chili's?
It was a dart with a rubber suction cup with a kite string. And I told the guys on the radio how I wanted it as a kid. I saw the ads in the back of the comics. But I was fearing for my life that it wouldn't hold my weight, and it probably would not have because it was just a suction cup with a piece of kite string. And I was like, if I had two of those, I could swing from buildings in New Haven and plummet to my death. And that's why they started laughing, because
that's reasonable. It is.
I thought there should have been a character called Novelty Man, and this was my idea as a kid, because you know those ads in the back
Stanley.
Of the book, X-ray glasses and lift these weights with this magnets. I said, what if you just saved up and you ordered all those things and you mailed away from it and you put them together and you could build your own superpowers. Yeah. You could have an X-ray vision. You could have the spy pen.
Right.
I thought Novelty Man would have been an awesome character who just basically buys these things on the back of the comics.
Like that with the prankster.
Well, or the toy man. Stuff.
No, prankster.
No, but this is a guy who just like, yeah, I can only get things that are on the back of a comic. He throws sea monkeys at people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're like lethal. But they have little boxing glove sea monkeys.
And they grow on your nasal passages.
Yeah, and all of a sudden your head explodes. Or the coin that with the little skeleton.
Oh, yeah, still. I remember that. Well, I remember the double. Remember the double-sided coins?
So I remember the Polaris heads. Submarine. That's why I thought
I
it was a great
the
thing.
Two
like
heads of the coin, so you could trick somebody by like doing Two-Face. A flip and then call your heads, knowing it would be heads.
No, I wanted the guy to escape in that Polaris submarine out of cardboard, like you know, like Mr. Bond. I'll get out of this, and suddenly he pulls out this cardboard thing.
Cardboard, the only thing.
Well, there was this creepy one I never found out. Did you ever see the smoking monkeys?
I remember those
in the back, but those were live monkeys. Who ordered those? You could get a chihuahua, and you can get a monkey, and I was always amazed by this.
Yeah, I remember they used to make little...
No, they didn't make
little
them.
Little toy monkeys.
The one that would smoke a cigarette.
Fake cigarettes in.
Yeah, no, I got... No, if you look at the back of those ads...
No, I remember
it
that.
It says, send away for a live monkey.
Yeah, thank God my brother and I never had
1999. No, but who did this?
I'm saying, if anybody who's got 1999, could you imagine that?
I want to know if somebody actually ever did this.
Brings it.
No, like, that's what I'm saying.
I don't know what's in there, but it kind of smells...
Oh, my kids, when they were little, they would get this Uncle Milton's farm.
Yeah, yeah.
They're a frog.
Oh, yeah.
We tried to raise this frog 3 times, and they would always ship it when we were out on for summer vacation. So we'd come home, and there'd be this little like test tube, and inside there'd be a dead frog. And it was heart. And my son's like, oh, no, you killed it. I go, I didn't. The mailman did. And it would say on the back of the box, don't order it if you live in these certain zones and what the temperature was outside. And I'm like, this poor thing's like in a bottle. Like, God, I hope to God they're home today. And we weren't, and we killed 3 frogs. But what were we going to do with
when
it?
I was a kid,
it was a tadpole.
When I was a kid, Woolworths, right? Long gone.
You could buy chickens and ducks.
No, we would buy the little turtles.
Oh, we had those.
You know, you'd buy the turtles.
I have it now. It's about the
they
size
had
a of a
tank full. And it was always like, when you'd look at the tank, it looked like
they're all climbing
the turtle thing. Because they were piled up on
top. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we would always like ask for the one at the bottom because we felt guilty. Sorry for them.
Mm.
So we created like a little backyard.
Turtle?
Like a sanctuary based, again, in a big box.
Yeah, yeah.
And we put rocks in there and put a little water in there and stuff.
And did it live for a while?
Well, we didn't realize. We kept thinking, oh, they're escaping. And then we found out that the birds were coming and swooping eating them.
Well, that's horrible. That's really
sick. We thought, we should have put, over that.
I had turtles as a kid. I had turtles. I had chickens. I had ducks. I didn't have a pig.
We had chickens in the city, which was weird.
I had chickens. A rooster was a pain. A rooster would chase you around the yard.
Yeah.
Goddamn thing.
Yeah, he would. Well, he had the roosters have spikes.
Yes.
And they would basically jump and spike you.
Both legs
would go and get you.
Like if you were doing cockfighting.
If you wore shorts in the backyard, you were like, you know, you had
no, I remember the thing would wait underneath my dad's car. And when I'd walk out in the yard to go to my grandma's, like, where's the rooster? All of a sudden, the rooster would come out from under the thing and start going at
like
you. And
I'm
like, I'd run like hell to my grandmother's as fast as I could because of being chased by a rooster. Now, I don't think most kids have those memories growing up, you know? I'm like, you never lived until you try to walk outside with a rooster coming at you. Well, it was a mean thing, too. I was, terrorized to this thing.
It was protective.
Yeah,
being protective.
I was, like, 5? I don't know.
It was at the top of the roost.
I had ducks. I had rabbits.
We had a rabbit once. We got it from this nice old lady who raised
him. Away?
No, we had it in the house, and we didn't tell our mom.
Oh, no.
And we had this room where you had to walk into the middle of the room to pull a light switch.
And it hung itself.
But you had to walk into a room, into a dark room with no windows to pull the light switch. So apparently while we were at school,
my
mom came in to get something. She walked into the room, and she felt something like furry brush against her foot, and
thought
she freaked
rat.
Out.
Yeah.
And she got the light. She thought it was a rodent of some kind. So she when we got home, she made us give it back.
Oh, I thought she was going to end horribly. Like,
they're
killed
nice
it.
Pets.
I had
they're
rabbits very, as pets. Yeah, they were nice.
They're kind of cool.
Uh-huh. I'm telling you, I had a lot of dogs, a lot of cats.
Thinking of a Superman memory.
Yeah, this is
when
riveting again.
When they started showing the Superman stuff in a cartoon block on a Saturday morning, they would show Popeye cartoon or... You know, and then
The Fleischer ones.
Yeah, but then you.
By the way,
like an episode
was there
2
Fleischer brothers?
Yeah.
Okay, because when we saw that Superman movie, it said Dave Fleischer. I always thought the guy's name was.
Max was
Max Fleischer.
In the company, Dave was.
I didn't know
the
that.
Animator. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was Max Fleischer.
Yeah. So they.
He made the Popeyes too, right?
They did Popeyes. I think they did Betty Boop initially.
Yeah.
It was like a weird. Like they. their company evolved just like anyway, Disney. But anyways, saying, they ran Supermans, and we were both, my brother and I were both really pretty young, so this would have been like, again, early 60s. Yeah. I was born in 57, so
yeah, yeah.
We, of course, did what the people said you shouldn't do. We put tied towels around our neck.
And jumped out a window.
And we climbed, no, we climbed up on the shed roof that was about maybe 8 feet off, this 10 feet off the ground.
Yeah.
And we would practice jumping, and we were very disappointed that we couldn't fly. So that's a common thing. But we were smart enough not to pick too high.
Like, I was going to say, 8 feet's not so bad. You can only break an ankle.
You don't want to be like, I'm going to try this from a 10-story building.
No, I'm just trying to think what other ads. Christmas, what else?
Do you remember when the catalogs would come out?
The Sears Wish Book, yeah, yeah.
We had...
I found a link to that on a website. You can actually go, and it has them all PDF, yeah. And you can see all the pages. I go, oh, we should just circle stuff we wanted. Well, never got it all.
You never knew you were going to get it in the store. That was the problem. Like, it was if it was in the circular or in the
catalog,
ad,
yeah.
You couldn't... I mean, I guess with Sears, you could probably special order it, but nobody Sears did that.
Yeah.
You'd take your chances, and the store wouldn't have whatever
no,
it was.
It was JCPenney's and Sears were the two big stores when I was
I used to get my... Captain Actions and my G.I. Joes from a place that was, you remember what Service Merchandise in Connecticut was like?
Yeah.
We had a place like that called Smith Distributing.
You would go in there and the conveyor belt would come in.
Yeah, yeah, you would walk in and you would look on, like they had the cage with all the things with
and
numbers.
And you'd write the SKU down and you'd send it in and somebody would get it
and
thrown on.
And then you'd watch like this conveyor belt, you know, while you're standing, you're watching it come from like 300 feet away.
But I think that's how Amazon really works, actually. Yeah. The big scale thing, it's like
a giant warehouse
and it's just something picking and packing boxes.
But those were fun memories because that was my birthday being in November. Yeah. I always did generally get a couple dollars for birthday money.
And then you go on.
And then I would...
Do you remember the green stamp places? My mom did. The green stamps were...
I know
you
what
went
they
to the
were.
Grocery store and you got like green stamps for what kind of food you bought. And you'd fill these booklets up and then you'd take the booklets and you'd go to this green stamp store and you'd trade the booklets in for a toaster or, you know, a race car set.
Kind of like going to Chuck E. Cheese and with
tickets. Basically, but this was for adults, and tickets,
It's funny, though.
I don't know what the purpose was behind it. I guess to see what kind of
brand
Del Monte.
Loyalty.
Yeah.
That's the purpose.
If you wanted to, you would stick with that particular brand.
You had to shop at that store, just like, you know.
Yeah.
It was a smart idea. But like, go movie theaters.
Well, they have loyalty cards now. Now you have gasoline points.
But it's like movie theaters giving away dishes or whatever.
They used to do that?
In the 50s to compete with TV.
Oh, really?
You would go in. You could go in every week, and you'd get a different piece of like a dish set.
Is that like Carnival Glass?
Maybe.
I don't know what that is.
But dish sets would be like they did. You know, a Currier and Ives.
Yeah, the Prince.
They would do the Currier and Ives dishes. Had like winter scenes or whatever.
Yeah. I've heard
My
that.
My mom had like a whole set of dishes.
And
with
she got
this
them in a
design.
Movie theater.
You would get them like one at a time with an admission. So you would go back twice a week if you wanted multiples of something.
Oh, wow.
I actually remember these dishes so vividly as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, they were very specific with this blue pattern on a kind of cream-colored dish.
Yeah.
And I was like, again, a Goodwill.
And you saw
like
them?
Last year or something. And somebody had like a whole set. And I just kept thinking I don't need any dishes. But
part of me
wanted them.
Yeah.
So I did get like three... Like a plate, a saucer, and a cup for Christmas.
Yeah. I was going to say.
In my family.
Speaking of this, it ties into that. I was talking to this guy, Ryder Windham, I mentioned earlier. He's a writer, Star Wars stuff. And he collects kitchen utensils.
Okay.
Not just like, you know, like a grill.
Right.
Like stuff like that. Like from the 60s and 70s.
Right.
And I go, who sells that? He goes, there's lots of places.
eBay.
Like eBay. Yeah. And he says, I'll get like a grill. That's like, you know, you can cook, what do you cook on it? Pancakes or whatever. And then you could
griddle.
Take off the top and wash it in the dishwasher. It was
like
breakthrough technology because it had Teflon, you know?
Yeah.
But I said to him, why do you need to buy that? Because you can probably get something equivalent to it nowadays down the street at wherever, Kohl's or
he's not using
Target.
It, is he?
Yeah,
is
he actually
it?
Uses it. Yeah. But he said that's one of the things he collected. And one of the things he said he wanted is he was a big James Bond fan. And the Corgi factory, the Corgi was the company that made them. In the early 70s, he told me they had a huge fire and all their molds were destroyed, like the molds that they made the die-cast cars out of all this. And then years later, somebody replicated them and they made the James Bond.
Right.
It wasn't the James Bond Aston Martin. It was the moon buggy that appeared
from Moonraker?
No, not Moonraker. It was from like You Only Live Twice or whatever.
Okay.
And he said he always wanted that as a kid, but he never could afford it or didn't get it. And then years later, he got it. And I said, well, here's the thing. did you open it out of the box? He's like, no. I said, because there's something about it. When it's in the box, it still looks cool. But once you open it, suddenly it becomes like everything else, and it's not there. That there's something special about finding it in the box. And I said to him, I used to go, before eBay, you'd find out there was something at a store, and you didn't know if it was going to be in that store, like you said, until you walked down the aisles, and if you saw it on the peg hook of the shelf, it was like, oh boy, I better get it now, because I'll never see it again.
But it could also be sold out.
It could have been sold out. So it was like a big thing in the 90s, and then this all went away with the internet.
Well, it was...
But I asked him what was up with that, that thrill you got. It's like, it's a drug addiction. Like, you're all like, oh, maybe it's going to be easy today, and then you get there, and it's there. Yeah. He said he believes why people collect. It's because the hunter-gatherer gene is inbred in us. Right. Not inbred, but it's implanted in us from the caveman days where we would store stuff.
Right.
And even though we're so sophisticated now that we can go to the grocery store and buy our steaks and eggs, we don't have to kill anything for it, but you're, it's something in your head says you still have to go out and find stuff
wrong,
and collect it.
You become a hoarder.
Well, yeah, I guess that's the dark side of it. But no, because I was like, why do I go and buy like certain figures or certain cars and I'll have like a whole set of them? What's impulse. That OCD? It's an impulse thing, but then suddenly you go, well, I got to get them all. Because if I go to the store and there's like... two out of five, I go, where's the other three?
And that's
three?
What used to, that used to carry the comic market for years. You have to get them all. Like, if they're tied together, you had to get them all.
That was the whole
of Marvel, was that all those characters are tied together.
No, I had a guy tell me that the brilliance of the comic books was their soap opera mentality. The story never ends.
Yeah.
It's a, you got to keep reading next month, next month, next month.
They used to be tied together. Like, in other words...
No, but I used to pick up a book and it'd be a single issue story or a
single... It used to be like DC wasn't connected. There was no...
Yeah, but when did the ongoing story happen? Like in the 80s?
We tried... When I was on Superman, we tried really hard to...
Never stop it?
Have a continuity, you know?
Yeah, but don't you...
You wanted like... something
now it ends when they just switch writers, I guess. They go, oh, we're doing Daredevil.
Well, as I was talking actually yesterday at the comic store, we were discussing this, how
the death comics, of Daredevil,
well, comics were like such a big thing because it was the big tapestry, and you wanted to work on them, because if you worked on a story, your story had threads that went all the way back to Kirby and Stan Lee or whoever the creator was.
But they kind of severed all
that was the same creation, and that was the same story.
It was evolving, right?
So you were doing something that mattered to this or played off of something. Once they cut
you were
that
adding
thread,
to that legend,
I think they also killed the back issue market. Because there's no compelling
reason to go back
unless they're going to make a movie.
No, but before they were layers. They were piling on top of each other. Like, this is the first issue.
As a kid, when I saw that, that was the whole reason why I liked Marvel over DC, was because
they had that history, that continuity.
And it felt like you knew it wasn't a real world.
No,
but it
was an ongoing reality.
And it made me want to move.
That's why I didn't like DC books, because DC was just like doing those imaginary stories. I hated that. I'm like, wait, if Lois and Clark, are they married? No. Then why would I read this? The Super Sons. This is cool. Oh, but that's not real. And then I'm like, why am I reading these stories? They're just, they're fun, aren't they?
At the comic store, what popped into my head was, when I was, it was years ago, remember Chris Claremont, I'm pretty sure it was Chris Claremont saying, he said that as a writer in comics, your basic tool is, and you're like, what was getting at was you would, your tool and your calling card was that you had a comic collection. So if someone said, you want to take over Iron Man,
you had to make
you
sure
could
you
go
Iron
into
Man.
Your, you'd go through and you'd read all the issues of Iron Man in preparation for taking over.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, that went out the window because...
They were changing
it. When DC and Marvel, but mostly they opened the doors to someone from Hollywood who has like one credit in a movie. Hey, you're going to be the new writer. Oh, I don't want to have to go through all this stuff. We'll just come up with your own thing.
Oh, is that what it started? Like everybody started starting from scratch?
I think when it was an insular, like a small group of people who grew up reading the books, who then wound up writing them, there was still that respect for the backstory. And if it was hard work to read 100 issues of Iron Man, that was part of the job.
Yeah.
It seemed fair to the readers who read the first 100 issues that you would read those and refresh yourself so that you've kept them. Just you wouldn't do a Sherlock Holmes story that would somehow go against whatever
established. No, the other day I was looking at I was cleaning out some books the other day, just putting things in boxes, and I found the New Avengers by, I think it's Bendis and John Cassidy. And one of my books was like kind of torn. So I went to the store and I said, do you have issue 5 again? He goes, no.
Tape?
No. And he said, why? I guess I put those all in the bargain bin for, I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, they weren't selling. Because then I started looking, you know how many Avengers there's been now? It was the original Avengers.
Well, they broke me. And I used to buy all
I know,
of them,
I know.
And
but
they went to 5 series.
They went to 5 series. Yeah. Then it was Avengers Volume 1. Yeah. Then it was Volume 2. Yeah. Then it was the Uncanny Avengers. Yeah. And now I'm looking at the books now, and I go, what happened? Same thing with Captain America and all those books. It was one story, and then they started doing the relaunch, and then it became issue 1 again. I don't even know how many issue 1s there's been again. Now they start the legacy number underneath
which
it.
Which means nothing at this
point. It means
point
nothing because
really
they've killed
what
history
they
of it.
Go
yeah.
in. Right.
So, but the thing is, DC's never done that, really. They did it with Batman, or they just did it with Superman.
Well, sometimes they just...
Excuse
like
me.
Do another volume and they don't look back.
Well, Action Comics is on 1005.
Yeah, but there's a thread.
But it doesn't say see Action Comics issue 672.
But they should. I think
it would have been cool.
I think that by stopping footnotes to older stories, that they really did kill.
Well, was that done intentionally? They were like, don't do that anymore.
It happened when it specifically happened in Marvel. DC.
Roy Thomas was a big guy that would do that.
Right, but at Marvel it happened when Joe Quesada took over.
Oh, he's the one that stopped that?
Well, I don't know what the... He might not have done it. Whoever was running Marvel, I think
Did he
it was
stop
that,
the thing from smoking cigars, too?
Well, what was the guy who was running Marvel at the time who was like Jill Jemis? He was like a little bit nutty.
J-E-M-A-S.
As far as the fans and stuff, he would do... But anyways, they made a bunch of rules at Marvel. Then it was like the no more footnotes.
Yeah. No more smoking.
There was a lot of stuff, but the footnotes thing to me felt like that cut your line from 1961 or whenever the first Marvel book on.
Yeah.
Because the footnote, again, it's one thing. A comic store would buy extra copies.
No, but it would make me go buy that original issue because I wanted to figure out what they were talking about.
You didn't have to spend $25 for that issue.
No, you can go buy a reprint.
It was a casual thing, but it helped stores sell their back stock.
Yeah.
You know? Not every book is valuable.
No,
but
I know
if
that.
It's got a value to the guy who's reading the current book, it helps the comic store. You know, so that was the thing that I always thought was a good thing.
I don't think people even collect them like they used to. Maybe that's why I'm in the bad situation.
I think they do because when I'm at the comic store, I hear about people who are like desperate to get every variation, every variant cover.
They make fun of me because I like getting variant covers, but I go through like these six variant covers. I pick the one I like. Like the other day, the Archie book came in.
Yeah.
And I went through them all. I found one Archie book that looked like a pinball machine.
Yeah.
I said, I like that one because you got an Archie one coming out next month for issue 6. Archie meets Batman.
And then also, I have, right. And then, but I'm saying like, That plays off of the same collector mentality that you have to have every toy in a set.
Yeah.
And that, to me, that's kind of abusing your fandom to put out 20 variants.
Well, I would never get 20-something. Like, even that Superman, how many covers were for Action? Like 30?
I think that's excessive.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, to me, it feels like if you bought a book, I used to always think if you bought a comic, you shouldn't have to buy 3 copies of the same book just to get all of the art.
Well, that was in the 80s, and late 80s and
early
90s.
But then why are they doing it again? You know what I mean?
Because
they're doing
people
it because
are silly.
It bumps up sales because they know people are buying multiple issues.
I see some beautiful artists that they can just do covers.
Yeah.
They can't do interiors. Like, they're great cover artists, but that's as far as it goes, you know?
Well, it's simpler to do one page
than like
it is
pin-up.
To do 20 pages.
Yeah. I started doing sketch covers on my for fun, and I was like, wow, I could do this, but I couldn't do a whole book. But one off, it's fine. I have to do a Daredevil, but I got to get a blank Daredevil book. I should have bought issue 600. That
was a
blank cover.
Was it a blank?
Yeah. Somebody asked me to draw a Daredevil for him. And I was like, I could do a nice design. Well, see, I actually think of the designs more than anything because I just do a color scheme. I go, if I do a Daredevil, I just want to do red and black.
Right.
And white and negative space. It's more of like a... I told you when I was doing those things, I found out the hard way. I was like... penciling them. I'm like, I like doing black and white.
Yeah,
but then I'd go over it with the ink and it'd be black and white with, you know, black
marker. And then the marker would smear it.
And it would
look
right.
No, you have to figure out. That's why I was saying.
Just pick one or the other.
That's why if you use the regular India ink for the line art, you have to let it dry for at least a day.
Yeah, see, that's...
Because once it's dry, then you can go over it with the alcohol-based markers.
And they won't smear.
Yeah, but the problem is the ink has, nowadays, regular India ink has a little bit of
water.
Some kind of alcohol or solvent in it. So that's why until it's totally dry, it'll still smear.
There you go.
Yeah.
See?
But there's a definite order. I used, when I was doing them, and if I had to do one that I wanted to do in the same night or day, I would do it in pencil, and then I would do the color.
And then you do a black
over
overlay.
The pencil, and then I would ink on top of it. I'd do the actual heavy inking over.
Yeah, everybody does computer stuff. Yeah, I know. Well, it's just weight.
I bought 5 copies of the Shazam book.
I saw the blank cover. I picked one up, and I told Pat, I said, you know, Jerry better buy some blanks so he can start putting these together, because you could sell them when the movie comes out. That issue one I bought this week, that was the one I gave you, wasn't it? Wasn't that the sample that DC gave out?
Yeah, I think it was part. No, I don't think it was all. It was
the cover was familiar. He was sitting in the classroom.
But what you got at New York Con was it was all Gary Frank. It was
Jeff Johns
origin stuff. Yeah, this is Dale Eaglesham.
Oh, I thought it was the same book. Yeah.
No, Dale. Like, I worked with Dale when we did.
Gary Frank did a nice cover. Did you see that one? I was looking at the other. Oh, did you get his?
Yeah, but Dale did JSA with Jeff back in the. Earlier 2000s.
Oh.
Like after 2008, that run of JSA.
They did a recent Jack Kirby Captain America variant covers. I don't know where they got these art from. Like, he was dressed as a spaceman and then a cowboy.
The bicentennial issue, betcha.
Yeah, there was a bicentennial one. I picked that up.
Well, do you remember the tabloid, the big bicentennial?
Oh, that's where that came from?
Yeah,
oh, that's
right. He was dressed up
like
a spaceman.
I couldn't figure out where it came from. I'm like, why have I seen this? No, that's where it is.
Yeah.
The 1976 Captain America bicentennial book.
Yeah.
Son of a... Now I own them again. You're right. Yeah, because there was one. The Hessian was the Red Skull. I'm like, I know I've seen this before.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and I paid extra for that.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Well, I'm just wondering.
I don't have that book anymore, the Big Bicentennial Tabloid. No. It got ruined. They were hard to keep.
That was nice. Was
all the tabloids were hard to keep.
Ink part of it.
Did he really?
Yeah. He inked like a chunk of a page.
Oh, maybe I can get it on eBay for like $5. Those don't have much value, the big books. Depends.
They're nice. Was thinking about that though.
Why didn't they reprint
when I was looking at I think I told you I was looking at one of the collections, and I was thinking to myself, I know how people are about you shouldn't recolor stuff. A lot of times those collections, the color looks horrible, even if they try to copy what was there, because the paper in the old comics
was tabloid,
it was newsprint, and it was slightly yellowish or gray. And that's the problem, is that it was almost like wearing sunglasses. So if you remembered the books, you liked them that way. And when you see them in glossy paper...
Yeah, with the white, the colors look...
They're too bright.
Well, I remember when that Mondo paper came out in the 80s. That was supposed to be the Mondo.
It was Mondo,
bright white. It had a higher clay content.
Those were the plastic plates.
Yeah.
They were replacing the metal letterpress.
There's a name for those plastic plates. Flexograph.
Flexo, yep.
Yeah. People don't know what we're talking about, but I'm talking about...
No one wanted their book printed in Flexo.
Oh, because the inks wouldn't stay on it?
I think it was issue 4 of Crisis.
Yeah.
It was printed in Flex, or maybe the early first one or something. Well, I believe everybody rebelled and said, please don't do this again. Because they couldn't guarantee it for long print runs. That was the problem.
Oh.
As books started selling less... You had, I think, a maximum of maybe 40,000 on those plates, and then they would start getting squiggly for the plastics.
Oh, really? The
Whereas
definition
the metal
was going,
plates,
yeah,
you
yeah,
could print
where, yeah,
several
could go
hundred
forever.
Thousand
yeah.
without any degradation.
Yeah.
So that was the problem with the Crisis and any of those books that had high print runs.
Those were zinc plates.
The plates would suddenly, you know, the plastic would just get squiggly. They would
blur.
Wear down.
Yeah.
But those were pretty.
There was
horrible.
Baxter paper too.
Yeah. Well, the Baxter was
a heavier stuff.
We did Infinity Ink, was that Baxter paper. It was really nice, and it was offset for the first time.
Yeah.
That was 1983.
Yeah. Oop.
That's, you know, again, that it's nowadays you see most stuff is done on shiny stock.
Yeah, it is. It's real
and
glossy.
The colorist can work with the shiny stock because you can go really deep in value. But in the old days, they had they had formula.
Layers.
You couldn't do more than say 70% of a color value, especially blue, or it would come out too dark to see the
muddy.
Line work.
Yeah. See, I don't remember all that stuff.
So you, how many toys did you give away to kids
today? A garbage bag full of toys. I gave them Lego toy sets. I gave them action figures. I gave them. I just had so much stuff piling around the house.
You didn't take stuff off the wall.
No,
you don't have
stuff tacked up. I have stuff tacked to the walls. Oh yeah, I got that from you. My wife goes, "What happened?" I go, "Jerry tacked to the walls. He went up levels like Kramer did." I have like boxes
of
stuff. Oh, I have so much stuff. No, but every Sharon yells because every flat surface There's stuff, and not just one stuff. It's piles of stuff, like little figures and this figures, and it just becomes this big, crazy thing.
Well, I have a second drawing table in my studio.
You know, that's the only thing I never got. Talking about Christmas presents, that's what I always wanted.
You got one drawing table?
I wanted a drawing table. I remember even picking it out, and I went to Koenig's Art Emporium, and I told my mom and dad, that's the one, or drafting table.
Yeah.
And I said, I want that one. But remember, they'd have the sliding T-bar, which you could do the right angles and all that. I wanted it. It was like only about $200.
Well, we had a straight. You mean the one with the straight edge, so you could use your.
But you could use what was the thing?
Oh, you're talking about the actual
drafting arm.
Right. It had the.
Like the wires.
Pulley thing.
Yeah.
Byrne had that.
Yeah, that's what I wanted, and I would put those together. Those were a pain in the ass.
You're right, because it was perfect right angle.
Yeah.
So you'd use it to, and Byrne used to use it to do his guidelines.
And I wanted to get that, but I don't know what, they never got it for me. So my career in art, his mom and dad did not get me a drafting table.
I made my first drawing table.
Look at you.
Seriously, I took one of those old.
No, but I didn't realize that how it affects it, because I would draw flat on the table.
Yeah.
And you're trying to draw like this.
Well, you don't remember. This is like
what,
really old.
A board?
They used to have these school desks that were all one piece.
Yeah, I had a school desk that was one piece, and the lid would open up.
This was before that. Seriously, I guess my mom must have gotten one.
I had a wooden
tag sale. It was all wood.
Yeah.
And it was not movable. But the desk was a little thing like this. And it just had a pocket thing inside.
Yeah.
So I took that and I put a bigger piece of plywood on top of it.
And made a drawing table?
Made a drawing table.
But it was only like 2 feet high.
It was.
Was it? I was going to say it was short for children.
Yeah. I used that, but then when I was, I think, 16, I got my first drafting table.
See, that's why I want your drafting table.
And I got my first light box.
Light box, but the thing is,
I still use it.
Mine was glass. The glass surface broke.
I had my glass replaced.
Oh, I didn't replace the glass.
I took it to a place that did showers to sandblast, so it was diffused.
Oh, you got a nice thick glass?
Yeah, I got plate glass.
Frosted glass. You mean.
But plate glass, so I wouldn't kill myself if it did break.
Yeah, that's what happened to me. I was actually pressing down on it, and it shattered. I almost cut my freaking artery.
Sandblasting to make it frosted so that it wouldn't go blind from the light projecting from the
bottom. Was another thing I forgot. See? Yeah, I had my rapidograph pens.
Yeah, mine's a 16 by 20.
Remember rapidograph pens? I used to get the tungsten tips.
I know, I have those too.
They still work?
No.
Keep them clean? They all dried up.
The ink doesn't work in them anymore because they changed the formula of ink.
Yeah, it doesn't flow.
Back in, when I first, again, this sounds really bad when I say it, but back in the 70s, when if you were a letterer, you had to do straight lines.
You had to do the speedball.
You had to use that compass thing.
Yeah.
You remember the compass?
Yeah, the little black. Yeah.
You could dial up how wide you wanted it to be, and then you'd have to use the dropper to put ink in there, and then you'd have to put it against the surface that the ink would always want to run under the ruler unless
it would smear. Yeah.
That's how letterers used to have to letter borders.
And they'd have to do the little rule lines.
But they would have to do the borders with that in the old days. Before, and
then
rapidographs changed that. Yeah, rapidographs changed that. Mm. But those old borders, when they were done with that compass, the ink was almost 3D when it dried. Because
you
lay it on really thick, wide one, and you could erase those that never erase. You could, you know, when you're erasing your pencils after you're done inking, some pencilers would pencil really the groove in the paper, and you'd have to erase like hell, and sometimes you'd lose part of your word balloons. The lettering would actually come off.
I believe
if the
it.
Letterer didn't use...
They would. The rubber cement would come off.
That's why they wouldn't let letterers use markers back then to letter with, because the markers, the ink didn't have the same...
Oh, because they couldn't shoot it.
And it would erase off. You know?
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh.
No new technologies allowed, but markers would have been perfect for lettering.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But they fade. Especially back then, they faded.
Oh, yeah.
But they were great for drawing straight lines. I have pages that, like, like Dick Giordano had people doing backgrounds, I guess, maybe, and they were using those Pentels, and they're all purple.
Yeah.
Now. But they were a great tool because you had really nothing other than a...
That original cover I had that time, I sold that Jim Apparel one. That all the type was coming off because all the cement had dried, the rubber cement. But the inks were like a weird purplish, like a flare.
They were
like a flare marker.
But think about that as technology. Here's something weird when
a
you
black
think about
marker.
It. No, back in the 60s, 70s, before rapidographs were widespread, to do a straight line, you had to use the compass.
Yep.
Buildings weren't very complicated. People didn't go nuts with this stuff, and a lot of stuff was freehanded.
Yeah, you look at those comics, you can see.
You'll see it's freehanded. So you wouldn't be able to get away with buildings like people draw, even in the 80s when they were doing like really complicated windows and bricks and stuff, unless it was freehand.
Yeah.
So that's like a change of technology allows for that really super precise, over-detailed,
You
know, you couldn't have done that back then because it would have taken too long.
Yeah.
Filling that compass and drawing those lines.
I remember our teacher Byrne was doing like what, photo references when he was doing like the Marvel team up. Like, he was going over Washington Park, Spider-Man was swinging a web, and you see the arch that's there. Well, and I was like, what is he using?
Photocopying stuff, too.
He was photocopying?
Well, there was a period in that, when I was inking Fantastic Four, he had, must have gotten his first photocopier, because you could take and do a high-contrast photocopy, and it would turn it into, like, a high-contrast. Like, you could draw a couple of lines on top of it.
Make it look like it was drawn,
Yeah, but it was real. And he did that with Fantastic Four, and then... He had a couple of, like two of them in one issue, and then he drew the rest. And he said, when you ink it, try to make it look like the same, like the photo.
The weight, the thickness of the line.
Yeah, to use the black and try to get that same kind of blobby look. So there's an issue of with the Baxter Building, the one where the Baxter Building goes into space.
Yeah.
That I inked, where that whole issue is all nighttime.
Are you inking on that Dr. Doom double size anniversary issue?
When he shrinks them all...
No, did you do that?
No.
When he shrunk... Or was that Byrne inking himself? When he shrunk them all down?
Yeah.
They were all dwarfed?
Yeah.
You were doing which ones? The ones where he had Ramatut fighting?
I started with 230. I think 230.
Is that Galactus fighting?
No, the first one I did had the Agatha Harkness.
Yes.
And it had...
which I don't even know what happened to that
Strange
character.
Guest star.
What happened to Wyatt Wingfoot and Agatha Harkness? And,
I don't know.
That's a good question because they would be constants in those stories, and they're gone long now.
Well, they were part of that supporting cast.
Yeah, but they were. That was a Kirby Stan Lee thing. But where the hell did they go? When the hell is the last time Willie Lumpkin showed up?
Yeah,
I'm wondering if he's going to be
in piles of mail
next week. Is the Ben Grimm wedding issue? I wonder if Dan Slott threw Willie Lumpkin in there.
That would be funny.
Just for you know, for old sakes. When's the last time Happy Hogan was in a?
He should throw Spider.
Is Happy Hogan and Pepper Potts and
Iron Man? Iron Man in a long time.
I know Pepper Potts is still there because I read that Matt Fraction series, and she became Rescue. She became an Iron Man.
Yeah.
But whatever happened to Happy Hogan?
I don't know.
I mean, Foggy isn't still. A lot of that supporting cast is
Happy Hogan also remember
Karen Page got killed
in the old days. Happy had the he was a boxer and
cauliflower.
Cauliflower ear.
I always thought that was weird. Don Heck would draw those strange ears. I'm like. What the hell is that?
Yeah, I never... But that's a real thing.
Yeah, I know. You can get... You know who has that?
They couldn't.
There's one of those guys that's in the movie The Expendables. A wrestler guy. If you look at his ear, it's all like a big blobby thing.
Nowadays, they can drain the liquid out.
Well, I'm sure they can.
But I guess once it... If you leave it too long, the skin doesn't probably go back.
No. And, like, whatever happened to the Submariner supporting cast? Lady Dorma died.
I remember that.
But there was Vashanti.
Well, there was a new Submariner comic, wasn't there? Yesterday?
This week?
Yeah, I saw something.
No.
It was a Submariner, a name.
I was wondering who owns the rights to that movie. Is it Universal?
Fox had it at one point.
They could bring that back now? They could do an Avenger or an Invader story?
They could do all those. I mean,
did they finally sign off on that deal, or is it still looked at?
I think the deal's pretty much done.
Oh, all right.
Because I think they had China.
Because today they released the trailer. You know that, right? I was so mad. I was at the toy drive. And when I left, it said everything was blown up.
When I got up,
I was like, oh my God, it's out today? Because it was supposed to be on Wednesday.
It doesn't really reveal anything. It
didn't look like anything special.
I thought it looked interesting. But
it did.
It looks much more personal. And I thought...
The Ant-Man was in it. It was a surprise.
Yeah, that was kind of fun.
Because how did he get out of the quantum thing?
Well,
they left him floating.
Find out.
I know, but I'm like, I thought he was going to be stuck there.
Maybe he was smart enough to have...
Did you see they moved the date up to April, though?
Of what?
It was supposed to be May.
Oh, they did the same thing last year.
They did that. They moved it up a week. So, because I'm thinking, when is Shazam drop? I just want to hit it.
Well, I was thinking that them releasing this probably is maybe also killing some. Maybe wasn't there supposed to be a Shazam trailer? Maybe with Aquaman.
Yeah, there is next week.
So maybe this is them.
This is why they wanted to take the thunder.
Yeah.
Literally. They always do that.
Well, isn't Shazam supposed to be April 19th or something?
Captain Marvel is March 8th, and Shazam is April. It was April 12th, I thought. It got moved up now that the Avengers has moved up.
So when is the Avengers?
Now they're like the Avengers 22nd. Yeah,
they're just
I know. It doesn't have a chance. It's going to be like a week and a half, and then that's it.
You know what? I think people are the excitement, whatever excitement you have for those movies now,
yeah,
I think is a lot to do with, or has a lot to do with them doing the different characters. Even though we like Captain America, we like all those other guys, that's what's been effective Ronan. For them, is for them to take and do new...
Did you see that?
No.
Ronan was the Hawkeye character.
Oh, is that who he was?
That's who he was, yeah, yeah. He became this, like, masked, because they were all wanted by the government.
In the
Civil War movie, the Avengers.
Oh.
So they said, oh, Hawkeye retired, but he doesn't. He becomes this character called Ronan, which is basically he's Hawkeye,
and
but he wears a mask.
Comics?
Yeah. That was a Bendis Quesada.
Okay.
New Avengers issue 11, which is probably skyrocketing right now.
I have those.
I know. It's probably a nickel, but I bet you right now it's $60 on eBay.
Yeah.
Because it's the first appearance of as Ronan.
Interesting.
You know? So I could touch with that Captain Marvel book, Avenging Spider-Man issue 9 is $300-$400, and it was a dollar bin book. Nobody
wants
it. I was
discussing after they put that trailer out, the new Captain Marvel trailer. I said, you know, there's got to be some little tweak.
I didn't think it was that exciting.
But I'm saying there's got to be a tweak in there for against DC. Someone in that movie, whether, you know, has to say, what's your magic word or something.
Oh,
you know
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
there's
got
to
be
a or even if they do a Gomer Pyle
I can figure
reference.
Out the Nick Fury thing with the cat at the end of that. I'm like, what? Why is he playing with a cat? Is there something
I know.
Missing?
Well, that's the only, the major interest to me is
I just want to see
seeing
the
young Nick Fury.
Oh, yeah?
He seems more, in all the newer ones.
He's just like a badass.
He seems to know once he's one step ahead of everything.
Yeah.
And in this one, it's like he's going, hey, what are we going to do? Or whatever.
Yeah,
he
seems
you know, that's kind of fun, like him playing a different version of it.
Yeah. What's his name's in it, too? Phil Coulson.
Yep. He's also youngified.
Yeah. He's got bigger hair. I was like, that was funny. He's got like a 90s look going on.
Well, they should all have big shoulder pads or something.
Yeah. No, that would be a good one. And I don't know what happens after that, because after Spider-Man, I don't know what's out next.
Yeah,
I don't. There's no Thor. There's no Captain America.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know if they're doing Doctor Strange too. They're definitely going to go Black Panther too. It just got nominated for an award for Best Picture.
What's funny is, I'm looking forward to seeing Aquaman.
I know. Even my mom wants to see Aquaman. She called him. She goes, "Oh, I love that Aquaman."
I mean, they're almost
Sharon
overwhelming us with the amount of things in the trailers.
He's going to be on Saturday Night Live tomorrow.
Really huge. I mean, as far as scope,
epic.
It feels very big.
How much crime is underwater?
Well, it's probably not that.
It's like a Lord of the Rings, except it's underwater.
Right.
Yeah.
But if that's part of it, then, you know, there still has to be the other part of it. He's coming.
You see him, they put him in the orange and green outfit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think, I mean, it looks really intriguing to me.
That wasn't pandering?
It's, well, what did they do with Captain Marvel? For Captain Marvel, she's in the green suit, which she originally in the Marvel comics.
Oh, they have them all in there.
And then she's in the blue and red.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not pandering. It's
like
you're throwing in stuff that people will recognize as a fun thing. That's what I'm saying. It's got to be someone asking her to say Shazam in there. You know, just something. There's got to be
that
some kind
of
a tweet.
That would be funny if she just, like, says Shazam.
Well, it'd be funny if anybody's, or like I said, even if they used a scene of Gomer Pyle going Shazam. And
that was
her
in
look
a
at
movie once. Anyway.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Well, we got to do the next movie.
What?
We'll do Captain Terrific on.
The movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You already have.
I'm so tired today. It's like funny. Usually I'm like bouncing around the wall,
but now
it's starting to hit me. I'm like falling asleep.
You have your experience in the harness.
Oh wait a minute! What time is it? Oh okay. I got to do another podcast. No, that's fine.
You got your.
Oh, my harness story.
You got your right. You can you know how to work a harness, so you can do all the flying effects. It'll be like that.
It was so stupid.
It'll be like Radioactive Man, the movie that they did in
The Simpsons. Yeah. When he's the big guy,
he's all buff. And then it's like they shut down production.
And it's like everything is fat. And I was like, hey, what happened there? He's
breaking the wires.
we
could do our own movie.
We could do our own movie.
Filming
at Mohegan
Sun. Instead of a
podcast, I'll do a movie.
For 90 minutes.
I could do a Kickstarter. I'll do a Kickstarter to raise money for the Terrific Con. Capture Terrific Con. I do.
Who could do the production part
the effects?
Of a movie.
Yeah. Do you know I figured out how to do that snow effect last week? I don't know if you saw. I made a holiday card.
Okay. Oh,
and
you animated a
and
snow
I
effect?
Animated snowflakes because I've been seeing people do it. So I Googled how to do it, and there's like a YouTube video. It's like, hello, I will teach you how to use Photoshop. So I'm like, oh, okay, I think I know how to do it, but I'll listen to this guy, and he wasn't telling you where these things were. And he's like, you simply drop this down and go, and what? And I would freeze it. Like, what did he just, what menu did he just use? And what is he hitting? So I'm watching this literally for 3 hours trying to figure out how to do this because he did it so cool. Like, there were different sizes and different light was passing through. Like, there were snowflakes.
Right.
And I'm watching it, and I almost got it to work, but they were falling down so fast, it looked like, you know, pouring rain.
Like a northeastern.
Yeah, like a blizzard. Right. Yeah. You have to slow down. So Sharon, my wife's like, there's got to be other ways you could actually buy. Stock photography of snowflakes.
Yeah.
And all you do is take that and you make it a layer and you put it on top of your static image and it'll make the snow fall in front of it, but you have to buy that image.
Right.
So I'm so cheap. I'm like, I'm not buying that. I'll make the thing. So I finally didn't do what the guy told me to do because
it
didn't work.
Wait till it snows and take a picture at night.
I made my own. But if you look at it, you can see it's jittery, like summer coming down and then it speeds up and then it goes down because I couldn't figure out the timing. Thing right, but it was fun to learn to do. I'll never use it again.
I was on the when I went into the city on Tuesday.
Yeah,
we were on the train coming back, and Rachel and I are sitting, and there was another train across the track.
Yeah.
You know, like when you go, there's
the side
18 and 19, and 18's going to New Haven, the other ones. So we're sitting there, and it was just off register, so it was like maybe a foot out of sync from my point of view. But when I looked over, I look here, and there's people sitting, and I look over there, and it's like there are ghosts sitting there. I thought. You know, you could do an in-camera effect if you lined both trains up exactly.
Yeah.
Because the trains are identical.
So they're going the same speed.
Here, and then you go here, and they're ghosts.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, I just invented an in-camera special effect.
Well, look at you.
Or, you know, but I like when they used to use practical stuff like that. People would come up with an observation and go, oh, wait.
We could use that.
Yeah. With your snowflakes.
Yeah.
You know, YouTube.
I was thinking I could do something else with them besides snowflakes. I'm like, you could have made bubbles. I didn't realize you could take the paintbrush tool and just adjust the width of it and then hit spacing, and that's how you make various snowflakes.
Oh, yeah?
Because I was doing it, and I was doing dot, 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 dot.
So did you have an animated figure, or you just have the snow being animated?
No, the background is the same. Oh, it's just telling me a little better. Background's exactly the same.
But I mean, you
can make the layers
like when they do
Disney movies. Remember Disney movies, like the camera would come in?
On Twitter have like a picture of Thor.
Yeah, like Bill Sienkiewicz does that. Bill Sienkiewicz does that. And Ron Garney does it too. He'll like, here's my latest drawing, and you'll see this like thing. I go, how does he do that? That's all he's doing.
I figured it was an iPhone effect or something.
No, I was hoping it was. I was like, oh, maybe there's a filter. There probably is, that I just did it the hard way. Because I actually went in and made my movie.
I'm at that point where I think I need to get that iPhone filter that you can use that takes all your wrinkles out.
Yeah.
Because I know that exists because...
Oh, no. I was doing it on the sketch covers.
Why are people so smooth?
The sketch covers I was doing, I was playing with the brightness and stuff. And they're like, oh, look, it's blending the colors better than I could do.
Well, when you're only using the basic... You're using the primary colors, so you don't have a lot of markers.
I have very 7 bright. Markers. Yeah.
And I was thinking maybe that's why you got those glasses with the... transitions
because
sunglasses,
so I'm like,
so you can
on
go,
top of
hey,
stuff.
It looks great, and then you go,
oh my god, no, those Coptic markers, I told you, if you don't treat them well, they fade in a year or so.
Copic. Coptic is religious, that's like a Coptic religion.
Oh, is it? Am I saying the wrong thing? No,
but Copic,
yes, Kopic.
Any transparent media will fade,
it's watercolor, everything,
anything that's transparent is gonna fade. Opaques don't as bad because they're not.
They get
a double hit.
The translucent stuff. It's the light's hitting the white paper and it's bouncing back.
So they're not just absorbing whatever the radiation, whatever the sun's
UV,
rays.
Ultraviolet.
It bounces through, so it's a double hit.
I didn't realize it. That's why they fade that way.
You shouldn't put anything like that.
Well,
in
not
sunlight.
That I'm putting out the sun, but I mean, I see these guys spending a lot of money.
Or you get UV,
on these nice markers.
You can get UV glass.
UV coated glass.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen comic books ruined.
Right, and once you buy something, you are the protector of that thing. You know,
if you want to throw
artwork, you should protect it.
Oh, I have stacks of artwork. I found stuff the other day. I didn't even realize I had sketch covers. I had one from you. I had from Tucci. They were in a box. I go, oh, shit, I better put these somewhere nice. Because you forget. Like, I'll put these here. My wife goes, for now. And then for now happens 7 years later. I'm like, oh, shit, that's where I left those things.
Well, you mentioning about flat surfaces.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I was saying. I have two art tables, one I work on, and I have a separate one that I last time I used it was when we had, like, a week of power outage after hurricane, whenever.
Whenever,
5 years,
yeah.
So I haven't used it. But all it does is it's stuff is stacked on.
Oh, I know.
And I'm like looking when at the, it going, when the if comics I take come that in, out of here, I should take it out of there and put it in a shelf.
When the comics come in, like if I don't read them right away, I put them on a rocking chair in the dining room, and I can see it going from like 5 inches to 10 inches, to, and then it's huge. And I go, I'm going to read through those, and I'll sit down and I'll plow through them all. I go, but now what do? I put them in a box. Where do I put the box? I put the box downstairs, and there's stacks of boxes. And my wife goes,
get
these boxes out of here. You know, like, they're neat. They're not like all over the place, but what am I doing with them?
Well, Rachel helped me purge a bunch of
comics
from the basement room.
Yeah.
So it was a couple of long boxes worth. And it was, I said, go
through
the books.
I told you I started
books.
Moving stuff into short boxes.
I asked her to go through books and get rid of the comics that are in trades, that I have trades of, or hardcovers.
Yeah.
And it wound up being like two long boxes worth.
Oh, God. So, if I did that with all those like Avengers and Thors, I have all those omnibuses. But I like the original ones.
Yeah. The big problem is that you don't, I mean,
I'm not going
to
read them.
There's a lot of. Well, some of it you might want to, and that's when you start going through stuff to get rid of it, and you suddenly find yourself sitting on the floor
books.
Reading books and going, I don't want to get rid of that.
I found so many crappy books, though. Those are the ones I'm like, I should just throw these out.
Well, there's a place, a new bookstore I found.
Where? In Bethel?
In New York. No. It's on 45th and 6th Avenue.
Okay.
And they sell a lot of Japanese manga.
Oh, yeah?
But they have, it's all, most of it's used. They have toys.
Oh,
they have like two or three floors in this place. It's something with book in the title, Book It or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyways, they have trade paperbacks, and they're all cheap.
Yeah.
Or not. They're not dirt
trades
cheap.
Trades because they're reprints anyway.
But I'm saying, I was looking at those, and I wound up buying a Rocketeer collection that
IDW
did, a hardcover.
Yeah. I have that.
Oh, you
the artist
got it
edition?
For like $10 or something.
$10 my ass. I spent like $100 if it's the one I'm thinking of.
It's not the artist edition.
Oh, yeah.
It's
the one
that's got the
New York Adventures?
It's got all of his, the original one plus the one that Russ Heath drew that came out around the time of the movie. Remember
that? The adaptation of the movie.
Yeah. It's IDW put it out a couple of years ago. But I'm
saying
like they have all these trades and I'm looking
at to get the Rocketeer guys to do the show. I'm trying to get Billy Campbell to come to the show.
Oh, cool.
There you go. He lives in Norway. I have to fly him in from Norway.
Because he's doing it. No, he's doing a. He did a show.
She said he's in Norway or Vancouver.
Well, he did a show that was, I think, actually a Norwegian production.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
So maybe he moved for that.
So I'm trying to get Billy Campbell to come. You know who wrote to me yesterday? Sean Patrick Flannery.
Oh, cool.
He said, "Hey, can I come to Terrificon?" I go, "You're young indie. What am I going to say? No."
He was also
in Boondock
Saints
and Powder.
Yeah, yeah.
It was also on that show, I believe it was the, what's the Christopher Walken one? The Stephen King story? The Dead Zone?
Yeah, the Dead Zone.
He played the politician, I believe, on that. He played the Martin Sheen role.
Yeah.
So, Sean Patrick Flannery will be a terrific one.
Well,
it's nice that they call me now.
And you got Storenko.
I haven't announced that.
And Storenko did the production
that,
art for the...
And Tom King. And he did the production art for Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
It all ties together.
Yes.
He doesn't own those. They're at Lucas's house. I asked him. He said, I don't own those.
Yeah, no, I'm sure that they would. They were a big comic.
Yeah. I asked if he could. Yeah. Anyway, I think that's going to wrap it up because it's an hour and a half of us just rambling. People go, what do you guys talk about? I go, this is pretty much it. It's like when I used to go to my grandmother's house.
Kill your podcast.
Oh, please. Samino was doing that.
With the supersized
Samino would
editions.
Be on right now and screaming at the thing if he was still on the show.
We're doing supersized editions.
Just yelling at the thing. Bang, boom! That he was like a living sound effect on the show. Right now, he's living in Roy Thomas's basement,
doing sound effects for his comics.
Probably.
Katang.
Conan comes out next month.
What?
The Conan stuff. Marvel's Conan.
Oh yeah.
Ron Garney's doing stuff, and then they're doing all the trades are being re-released. The big omnibuses from the Savage Sword. I don't know if I'm buying those. I'm like,
I have all the originals.
Do you really?
Yeah.
The Barry Windsor ones. Oh, see, I don't have those. I just have here and there.
I have all the Conan magazines.
And then
Savage
they reprinted
Sword,
a bunch of them, too.
The Savage Sword of Conan's. Those are great. I don't think the
I wonder if they're
going to
color them, though.
The reprints couldn't do justice because those were all wash drawings, and I doubt that they would reproduce
the
as
black
well.
And white ones, you mean?
Yeah, the magazines.
Yeah.
A lot of them had wash tones.
Oh, I don't know if they're going to try that.
All they would
I don't
add,
know how they would do it. It would be muddy.
Well, they would be photographing off of a half-tone photograph.
Yeah, so you
I
get
guess.
A moire, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying it's not as good as the original, you know, printing. But those were good. When
well,
I did
we'll
this Wonder
out.
Woman story,
yeah.
With Primal Age thing, I kept thinking of Conan. Because
so she
basically,
looks like... Well, they came out
well,
with the Wonder
in
Woman
that time. She's on horseback.
Yeah.
I drew animals.
She have an
drew
invisible
a lot of
horse?
Trees. No. Oh. Yeah, that would be funny.
Right. I just think I left it over here, and you just see what food we eat, and all some poop would just fall out of the sky. It's like, oh my God, there's big horse shit everywhere. What
is see a floating saddle.
A floating saddle.
Yeah, that's actually fine. That would have been easier.
See?
Because I had to draw a horse.
I hate drawing horses.
Horses are tough.
Oh my God.
For me, because I don't draw them that often.
Well, they're just hard animals to draw. The legs are what's bad. The neck, I don't mind. The head and the face. No, horses'
legs work differently.
Ugh. Because they buckle in. They go in and out like that. So you only know this if you draw it. Because I would do caricatures at like parties and stuff, and people would go, oh, draw my daughter. She has a horse. I'm like, oh, God, no. So you'd always just draw the fence and just the horse's head like a Godfather movie.
Hey, everybody.
Just laying there. His decapitated head floating. Yeah, hello, little girl. I don't have the rest of my body. Now she's talking Scottish. I don't know why. No, but I hated drawing that. I remember the woman got all mad at me. Oh, is it? I thought I turned it off.
I'm not sure.
Oh, no. We'll round it out to 1/3. No, I did that. Horses. I wanted to cry. He's like, draw a pony. I'm like, oh, no.
That's funny.
No.
Well, the horses are hard. I had to draw.
You know what's the hardest?
And I wrote this story, so I wrote it into, for me.
Cars are hard to draw.
Well, you can.
Depends on what kind of car.
But see, with a car, you can buy a car.
You can look at it, yeah.
You can buy a model, look at it. But with a horse, you can't get a poseable horse that poses like a real, like their legs and all that. I had to draw a mountain lion. Because
mountain
I wrote it into
bad.
The story. Well, mountain lions are deceptive because they're not like lions and they're not like regular cats.
No, they're in between.
Yeah. So it took a while to get the rhythm of it. But Gil Kane always drew fabulous animals. He was always really good at that.
He probably traced that animal book. No, don't you remember those books that would come out, like how to draw an animal? How to draw that?
He did all. Anytime he drew animals, there was
Do they still make those? Are those the Newton books?
Not
when
sure.
I was a kid, you'd get these books. They were like 11 by 17.
Jack Ham.
Is that what they were?
On
no, but they had a whole catalog of like how to draw hands,
Kenneth Holtgren, I think, who was a Disney artist.
Did those?
I have a how to draw animals that I go to every time I have anything. Like
but
that.
No, I remember as a kid, you would go to the store like Sears.
Well, there were the Walter.
Sears had a section. Walter what? That's the guy.
Yeah,
begin with
one.
An L, isn't it? Walter, not Walter
the
giant, Lance.
There were a size of the DC.
Yeah, they were tabloid
editions,
size.
Yeah.
And those are the ones I had too. And that's
Yeah.
All right, there you go. I will, and yeah, this will be the Christmas show. That way I can have 2 weeks off. It's been no, people are like, fine.
Yeah.
2 weeks, people put this on their car, believe it or not. I have people like, oh, I was listening to it for a drive and it made it go by in no time at all. They hear you and Ordway going on for 2 hours.
30 minute drive seemed to take.
2 hours.
90 minutes.
I just kept driving around the driveway. All right. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Happy
and,
Aquaman.
Happy Aquaman. That's next Friday. we got to do a review of Aquaman.
Yeah.
Even though I really have nothing to base it on, I'm not a big Aquaman guy.
Why don't we do it before we see it? Like most
like
of
what's going to happen? Oh, yeah. All right. There you go. Tune in next time. Goodbye. This has been a production of Big Fedora Marketing, LLC. The folks that bring you the terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.